KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the opening reception for Giving Back, the Soul of Philanthropy, reframed and exhibited Tuesday, January 13th at 6 p.m. at Concordia University's George R. White Library in Portland. The reception is an opportunity to tour the exhibit, which illustrates the Black philanthropic experience, hear from exhibit creators, and connect with social justice movement leaders from across Portland. Again, that's the opening reception for Giving Back, the Soul of Philanthropy, reframed and exhibited Tuesday, January 13th at 6 p.m. at Concordia University's George R. White Library, 2811 Northeast Holman Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Inner Boy Workshop at the Portland Underground Grad School on Saturday, January 14th. Marking the first anniversary of David Bowie's death, they'll look at illuminating moments in his career for inspiration to break through creative blocks and make work that shatters convention. Bowie's intense energy flowed into any media available, from page to song, stage to film, to canvas. What source did he tap? Join them and find your inner Bowie. Again, that's Saturday, January 14th at Southeast Uplift, 3534 Southeast Main Street. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Turn on the thin white tube, throwing darts in lovers' eyes.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Hello over there. The time is 10:03. Listen to KBOO Portland. Next, we have coming up Locust Focus.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. As this year draws to a painful close amidst all the political debris, we can look back at some major environmental successes. Communities across the Pacific Northwest have stopped proposals to build coal terminals in Washington and Oregon, a giant methanol refinery in Tacoma, LNG export terminals on the Columbia River estuary and hopefully Coos Bay. The Northern Gateway pipeline slated to carry tar sands oil across northern British Columbia was terminated by Justin Trudeau's new national government in Canada. And the Portland City Council passed an ordinance banning all future fossil fuel export facilities in the city. Yet there is still a lot of work ahead to hold the Northwest's thin green line of resistance against fossil fuel development. This morning, we'll talk about one of the remaining gargantuan fossil fuel projects in Kalama, Washington. Like all the other mega fossil fuel projects being proposed across the region, the Kalama methanol refinery is being met with fierce opposition from community members. And one of the key people in this struggle is Jasmine Zimmer-Stuckey, senior organizer with Columbia Riverkeeper. Jasmine, welcome back to Locus Focus.
Thank you for having me.
So I think we should back up a little bit and talk about what methanol is for people who haven't been following this, because this is definitely one of the projects that is the least on the radar.
Yeah, absolutely. So to begin, Kalama, Washington is a town of roughly 2,000 people on the Columbia River between Vancouver and Longview, Washington, so about 40 minutes north of Portland. And what's proposed there is the largest methanol refinery in the world. it's a natural gas. The plan would be to import a significant amount, a staggering amount of natural gas, refine it into methanol in Calama, and then ship it on massive tankers overseas to China to make plastics. The company behind this project, they're a company called Northwest Innovation Works, and they have their backing from the Chinese government. So there's a lot of pressure to have this project in the small town of Calama go through. But there's also significant resistance because it is such a massive, massive proposal.
Well, for people who don't really know much about Calama, let's describe it. It's on the way between Portland North as you head towards Seattle, and it's just before you get to Longview and Kelso. And it's a town that I used to notice when I first was living here, and I'd drive up I-5. It's this wonderful little village on this hillside above the Columbia River. But can you describe what Calama is like and what kind of impact this facility would have on the life and culture and economy and environment of Calama?
Sure. I mean, if any of the KBOO listeners are Twilight fans, that big, vampire teen, thriller movie that came out a couple years ago, the high school scene were filmed in Calama. It kind of gives you an idea of how idyllic this community is. They have amazing, amazing river access, probably one of the best, river access spots along the Columbia, for all of the towns. And it's a relatively small community. I mean, it's just a few thousand people. And until this, until the Calama methanol refinery was proposed, it hadn't seen the impacts of these proposed coal export terminals or oil terminals or things like that. And so now a small town is, being targeted to be, home to one of the largest methanol refineries in the world, which is incredibly significant and very daunting for a small community.
Now, let's back up a little bit more, because this is, like, if you put this in the larger context, this was not the first choice site for Northwest Innovation Works. I mean, they actually planned for three refineries. Is that true in the beginning?
Yeah, there were three on the table. The first big proposal to really come to light was in Tacoma, Washington. Now, Tacoma is much bigger. It's a huge city. And when the public got word about what was being proposed by Northwest Innovation Works, there was extreme outcry. And Northwest Innovation Works, actually, instead of answering people's questions about safety, answering people's questions about, resource extraction, they actually just left town. They dropped the project entirely and essentially doubled down in Calama. There is another proposal by the same company over across the river in Oregon at Port Westward near Klatskanai. And that project, because of some of the land use sort of subleasing issues at Port Westward, isn't moving forward yet, although the company still considers it a viable project. It just hasn't begun any of the permitting processes.
It seems to me they might be waiting to see what happens in Calama before they go ahead with Port Westward.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Calama is certainly the litmus test for this company.
Now, there's a big difference between Calama and Tacoma. As you described, Tacoma is a big city. It's also very close to Seattle. Well, it's kind of halfway between the state capital of Washington and the largest city in Washington. Did that give it an advantage as far as being able to basically scare the company away?
Yeah, I think it really did. Tacoma is a city of a couple hundred thousand people. Plus, they have the benefit of being very close to Seattle. And all of the Puget Sound energy that just, comes up with, lots of people in a small area. And so the community was really able to respond quickly and in significant numbers to essentially scare Northwest Innovation Works away. Now, what we've seen in Calama is a similar response per capita. But, of course, our numbers are much smaller because it's a smaller town. So, a quarter of the town coming out in opposition in a town of, 2,000 still isn't that many people. But if you look at it, from an organizing perspective, it's significant opposition.
Well, let's bring in one of these people from Kalama now who's organizing against the refinery, Gary Wallace, who this is a courtesy of Jasmine, who has invited Gary to join us. So, Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
We're very happy to have you. So why don't you give us a little bit of background on what was your, how did you find out about this refinery, and what was the community response when word first got out that this, there were plans to build this refinery in your town?
Well, it originally started multiple years ago. I think about just over three years ago, the Port of Kalama had been approached by an industry, which at the very beginning, the port commissioners, all three of them, were excited over the prospect of a new industry on a waterfront. But they never really, the Port of Kalama never really disclosed what exactly it was until they sent out a postcard indicating that they were inviting the methanol refinery NWIW to become part of our community, and they never really explained what it was. So I was in part of working with Jasmine. I was also in part of the coal opposition for the North American's largest open air coal dump they proposed for Longview that is hopefully going down. But based on that, I worked with Jasmine and Glenview River Keepers and a couple other groups and local volunteers from Kelso, Longview, as well as Kalama, and we started to attend Port Commission hearings, regular meetings, and developed more information rather than the rudimentary idea that there's a new factory in town. So the more we discovered, the more we didn't like it, the fact that it was going to be a significant diminishment on a beautiful, beautiful city, small little town. It's a quality of life issue for myself. I'm a native of Kelso. I'm born and raised in Southwest Washington. So in my opinion, it's probably one of the worst things we can do. Kalama is a hilled community. There are a lot of people that live with very, very nice, very, very expensive houses because of the fantastic view from up above the town proper and in the surrounding hills. But everybody's view will be diminished by a 250-foot tall burn-off stack 24/7, as well as a plume that is going to be mostly water vapor but also contains some very large amounts of CO2 gas. So the more we heard about it, and then we found out they want to put it on a small 90-acre dredge spoil that's been there for 30 years right next to the Columbia River at the mouth of the Kalama River, we knew there was a problem because of the existence of our salmon stream, Salmon River, the Kalama River, one of the last wild rivers in the state, and has two fish hatcheries. We've spent millions over decades to get our fish runs back. So the quality of life from being a fisherman and outdoorsman, my background includes logging, so I've done some things that are probably not environmentally healthy, but not on this scale. And we changed our ways in a logging industry, so it's time the industry of Petroleum Institute support changes its ways.
Well, that's actually kind of an interesting challenge. This is one of the things I've talked about with a lot of people who are dealing with this influx of proposals to turn this region into a fossil fuel hub, that we're used to resource extraction industries like mining to some degree, not so much around here, but certainly in the eastern and southern parts of the region, and certainly logging. But what would you say is the difference between logging, even industrial scale logging, and what happens when you bring in fossil fuel projects like this refinery?
Well, logging has changed a lot. It was very labor-intensive. Now it's much more mechanized, but it's done in an ecologically, environmentally responsible manner. We leave streams. We appreciate the fact most loggers and people definitely in Longview, Kelso, Cowlitz County, Kalama, Woodland are appreciate the outdoors. They love fishing, hunting, etc. But logging is one thing, is a necessity. It's renewable. It is sustainable. We just have to do a little bit better on our harvesting methods. We can always improve. But with something with fossil fuel, it's not, particularly in this methanol refinery, as long as we're being specific, is totally not sustainable, not renewable. It's using fracked nat gas, which we've seen now is destroying water aquifers as well as causing earthquakes, man-made earthquakes in certain areas. Oklahoma is a good example. So this is a one-way street. It extracts, uses, destroys, and then hangs around and causes other problems. The amount of carbon, CO2, being put into the air here is, as far as I recall, I think it's 1.4 to 1.5 million tons per year. There's going to be a huge amount of particulate matter in the vapor plume, and as well as then they're going to, they've changed their methodology from the original DEIS application into a